And Avram Krengel, he's the chairman of the Board of Governors of the Yeshiva College. And we want to talk about Yeshiva College and what's happening. You know, there's been a lot of rumors in the community, and we wanted to kind of get it from the horse's mouth. What is the story with Yeshiva College, and where do they sit financially? And thank you for coming to High FM. It's about time. It's only taken me 11 years to be in studio with us.
No. I've been in your studios before. In fact,
no, once, old ones.
Once by mistake, they were meant to invite to the Yiddish program.
Yes.
And they got the wrong Krengel, and I landed up on this Yiddish program.
And how's your Yiddish, by the way?
Not very good.
Oh, hell, that's not very good.
If somebody had given you a birthday brocha, it would have been different.
We had a good chat to Judy Waritz and Ronnie Kaplan. It was good fun. Yes. So just in terms of Yeshiva College, it's really facing the same demographic challenges that the rest of South African Jewry is at the moment. There is a large amount of families that are leaving and going to Israel, making Aliyah. This year there should be over 500 that do that. And as a former chairman of the Zionist Federation, we're very happy on that, you know, on that side. But it has started to put a lot of pressure on the institutions in Johannesburg, especially. And Yeshiva College is no exception. We have lost, you know, children over the last couple of years. Significant amount of immigration, also moving, you know, to King David. And the offering that we have is quite a challenging one, where we put a lot of emphasis on both the general studies and the religious studies, and that's not for everyone. And
also the children are different, and different children are going to fit in better in different schools.
And also special needs is a big part, you know, today where they need additional assistance. So With the school getting smaller, we had to take action to make sure that we remain financially viable, and therefore we have gone through quite a large restructuring process. I don't know if you recall, many years ago, King David did something similar under the leadership of Mr. Zulberg, and that's now complete. We have a new leadership team in place. And we're very optimistic about the school going forward, and feel that for the market that is attracted to what we offer, it's still an amazing school and produces incredible children.
Is it not time to have the conversation about sharing resources between our schools, where we have one school where all the kids go? And for the different nusach, for the different Hebrew traditions, or you know, the Kodesh studies, they do their own, but history is history and maths is maths. And that will allow us also to choose from the best of the best in terms of the teachers.
So we at Yeshiva College think we've got the best of the best. We have the best results almost in the country.
Yeah.
The King David system works really well. It's 3,500 children. It's got economies of scale. Where you need the consolidation, and I speak about in the Jewish Report article from 2 weeks ago, is in the Torah schools. There are 2,500 children. It's a substantial portion
That's
of the
an
community.
Entire King David on its own.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah.
But it is split and splintered into six schools. And that is something that we have pushed very hard to try and force the consolidation, persuade other schools, especially the very small ones, to merge with us, to merge with other schools. There is an initiative with the chief rabbi, and it has to happen. The community can't afford, you know, six principals, especially in the religious schools. They're separate boys and girls for the high schools, sometimes in primary schools as well. And it's something we feel very strongly about, especially at a high school level. Primary school is less expensive, but at high school, exactly what you're saying, if you want excellent teachers, it only is viable, it only is sustainable if there are large classes. And we very much committed to this process of trying to facilitate a consolidation within the Torah schools.
And also sustainability comes down to where the parents can afford fees. Today, to put a child through matric is 13,000 rand. If you have more than one child, how is that even affordable?
So,
and I'm saying 13,000 is like an average between all the schools.
Thankfully, you know, at Yeshiva College and other schools, the schools subsidize at least a third of the children.
Yeah.
And it is, in fact, that financial burden that is the biggest burden on us.
Yeah.
We have a subsidy allocation based purely on need of 20 million rand, you know, to allow every single Jewish child to have the education that their parents do want. And that is the part that is most difficult and long-term unsustainable and, again, needs a communal solution. The Chevra Kedisha is the biggest welfare, you know, body in the community, but we receive very limited assistance from them in the education side of the community. So you're 100% right. There has to be a consolidation to firstly get the economies of scale, and there needs to be a communal initiative to assist the schools in ensuring that every Jewish child has a Jewish education, whether it's religious or, you know, more general as in King David. And those are the challenges, the enormous challenges that face us going forward.
Sure.
Has the community leadership kind of bought into this idea of consolidation? I know you spoke about the chief rabbi, but it's bigger than that. I mean, I'm almost thinking that you don't have the right to go out there and open any old school that you feel like doing on the day because you're splintering the community and it has a far bigger impact. Is there an awareness of that?
On a macro level, there is a realization that this has to happen, but there is resistance from the schools themselves. Each one,
feel that
they have a specific offering. Often, you know, it's families that founded them, that run them. That is the challenge. And part of the challenge we have in Johannesburg is it's not funded centrally like it would be in a Cape Town or Durban. So as long as, whether it's a school, whether it's a shul, as long as you find a donor that's prepared to continue to support you, you're not under any pressure to create this consolidation.
Sure.
And that's the challenge we have.
We're speaking to Avram Kringel. He's the chairman of the Board of Governors of Yeshiva College. If you've got any questions, any comments, then this is how you get in touch. 34519. That's, the SMS line. Those SMSs are charged at 1.50 rand. You can also send us a telegram if you have the app preferred by ISIS fighters. And that number is 061-895-1019. Let's get some news headlines before we go back to Avram.
In your news headlines, more state pension fund write-offs, bribery by former Israeli Navy chief, and load shedding starts 4 p.m. today.
Has it been confirmed, Liesl? Okay.
Avram, as somebody who's quite removed from community structures, I'm really interested in the comment you just said about Cape Town being a different model. What's the reason for that?
And what is the model?
So the best way of describing it is communism versus capitalism.
Guess which one's which?
Well, we know Capetonians have got short arms and deep pockets.
Yes, so. You know
the Capetonians, there were certain communal leaders, especially Elliot Osram,
yeah,
that spent a lifetime building up enormous endowments for the community. I think at the moment, they've just actually added to it because they've sold their golf course.
It's King David gone.
It sits at about 1.3 billion.
Wow.
So, good. And that is controlled centrally. So the United Jewish Communities, which is their main fundraising arm, is the donors are bought into the fact that you give to this communal organization, not that you actually need any additional funding. The endowments could probably, fulfill their needs for many, many years to come. So it's centrally controlled, and they then allocate funding to welfare, funding to education, you know, funding to what they need. Individual organizations are not allowed to raise any funds. I think it's for the first 6 months of the year, and then they're allowed to. Johannesburg, I always compare it, Cape Town's Geneva and Johannesburg's Mumbai. And here you can do what you want.
But, you know,
there is absolutely no central organization that firstly has the endowments that can force the discipline in the community. The donors don't seem to, you know, want to do it. So on the one hand, it allows for an enormous amount of energy, of initiative. You know, a lot of us that started our communal careers, set up organizations, you know, made our mark, So it's got an enormous upside. It creates the vibrancy that is Johannesburg Jewry, that different people can come up with ideas, different things that they might do, and everyone has a chance and has to almost justify themselves to the community and to the donors. But the flip side is what we're facing now on the education.
I was just going to say, I mean, that model's fine when you've got a large community offering a lot of choice. But if it's shrinking due to immigration or whatever it may be, maybe the same rules just can't apply going forward.
Correct. But the Johannesburg donors seem to prefer giving, not to a centralized organization, which then has a discretion as to how to allocate it. And there does seem to be a preference for giving to specific organizations. There has been consolidation in certain areas. So welfare has consolidated around, the Chevra Kadisha, this building with everyone in it, etc. But there's still, especially the shuls and the Stibelach and the Torah education side, there's not been the consolidation needed to for this community to, in a sense, live within its means on, as you say, a much smaller population, and more importantly, a smaller donor base. Because when you have immigration out of the
donor
country,
donor fatigue as well.
When you have immigration out of the country, it's normally those that are better off that can afford to immigrate, and then the needs of everyone left behind is just greater.
Yeah, we're speaking to Avram Kringle, and that's where we absolutely have to leave it, I'm afraid. But thank you very, very much, and welcome into the new Chai FM studios.
Yeah, they're beautiful studios, really well done, amazing radio station, such a chizuk for the community, and I'm happy to come back whenever you want.
And I need to thank you very much, and I'm going to get a rabbi to call you to give you a birthday brocha. You and Simon.
I will accept it.
I'm actually going to speak to your rabbi and find out why he hasn't told you about birthday brochas.
You always accept the brocha. Thank you, Kat.
Avram Kringle, he is the chairman of the Board of Governors of Yeshiva College.